Hello and welcome to Grow Global. This is our second episode. It's our newly created podcast, Grow Global. We are going to be speaking about self-esteem and education. I want to first, before I dive into that subject today, let you know a little bit about our sponsor, Platinum Credit Group. They have helped individuals and organizations with financial education, helping them with startup loans and/or workshops, working on capital. They really help to provide an in-depth credit analysis, looking at your income, your financial background reviews before submitting applications to lenders on business owners' behalf. So they really help to take care of you with all the important things you need to do when trying to get business credit. We are truly grateful for Platinum Credit Group for helping to fund this podcast, which in part helps to make this show possible. So a special thank you to our Platinum Credit Group family and their support of this podcast. Going into our topic today, self-esteem matters to education. It is a very important topic, especially now in today's world with social media and all of the things that kids are confronted with around their own self-esteem and things that they go through in school. In today's episode, we will talk about self-esteem matters to education. Our guest for today is Angela Samuels. She is currently a high school counselor at Jackson Public School in Jackson, Mississippi. She is a graduate of Bachelor of Arts in Psychology from University of Mississippi and took her Master's Degree of Education from Mississippi College and Doctor's Degree in Education from the University of Memphis. She is an experienced learning and development specialist, counselor, and project manager with a proven track record for developing trainings and curriculum for school districts. She is a social emotional learning and behavioral health specialist that has developed immersive learning strategies to engage diverse learners, a KPI assessment and goal setting experience that includes pre-assessment and post-assessment development and analysis. She is going to share with us all things about self-esteem and how it matters to our students today in their education. So please, let's welcome Angela Samuels. Hello, Angela Samuels. Welcome to the Grow Global podcast. Welcome. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the importance of self-esteem from an early age. Or, you know, do you need to wait later until your teenage years to talk about this topic? Or is this something that can be implemented early on in life? And if so, why?
Well, definitely self-esteem is something you need to start as soon as someone comes out the womb, because especially young people today, it's so many things bombarding them that just impacts them negatively. So you want to build people up even when they're small, you know, saying things like, you know, you're very smart, good job, just encouraging them so they can find like, oh, I am good at things. So the big issue with self-esteem is that because it's so intrinsic, but your support system has to build that up in you so that when a child gets to be like, you know, elementary age, then they go to middle school where everything is, you know, people are mean. And then we get to high school when they're trying to grow out of being a child and become a young adult and decisions are hard and it's peer pressure. So it's important that even as a child, even as a baby, a toddler, that you're doing things to say, okay, this is what's great about you. This is what I like about you. I'm telling you things that you're good at so you can start saying, you know what, that's true. I am good at it. I have these great things about myself. So if you wait till a kid is in high school, it's too late. Because by then they've gotten so many messages. It's a lot of peer pressure. It's a lot of false beliefs about how they should be, how they should look. That, but by then they need to have that within themselves to feel good and to like themselves versus waiting. So definitely start like as soon as your baby comes out. You know what? That's a great choir. You know what? I just love the way you smell at me. So they hear all these positive things so they can grow and internalize it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that's so important before those teenage years, like you said, because that's when they're going to really be able or need to understand how to make their own choices and to feel good about themselves, because that's a hard time when you transition into middle school and then into high school. It needs to be very well much there, getting into those grade levels, right? So I think it needs to be something taught in elementary school. I mean, I don't know if it's part of the regular curriculum where you are, but in your district, but I know that that's something that I'm always pushing for, is to have these kind of self-esteem classes at the elementary school. Now, this is the thing that I have seen with a lot of, well, not a lot, but with some kids especially, they may not even have the support at home. And it's hard to build a partnership with the parents because, you know, sometimes they're not as engaged, and there are students that do fall through the cracks, per se. I've worked with a lot of these students, and that for me is really a tragic to see. So, you know, with that, when a school does not have something like self-esteem already ingrained into the culture of the school, how do they get something like that going? Because not all schools do that. And this is part of the...
These are great things about me. Even though it's something small, you start saying, well, you know, I agree with it. So what else do you think? Or then when you see them like doing check-ins, like, hey, I know one big thing I do is, you look nice today. Or, you know, even I have a kid that gets in trouble, I'm glad you came to talk to me. And that say something like, you know, because that was really brave of you to say something. You know, just doing little things to start doing those breadcrumbs that there are great things about you, and then start helping them figure out what they like about themselves, because self-esteem can't come from an outside person. I can give you ideas about what makes you great, but then I need to start having conversations with you where you start telling me what are things you like about yourself. And then eventually with your kids who are struggling, you want to get to what are the top 10 things. So when you're feeling like you're having a bad day or the world is not working out for you, you can go to this list and say, you know what, no matter how bad it gets, these are things that no one can take away from me.
Absolutely. That's really good. So do you think that social media then is responsible for affecting maybe some of the self-esteem of our youth? That's huge.
I will tell you, as an educator, I really do not like social media, because I know when I got into social media, I was in college and Facebook came out, and it was different. But now sometimes everyone is not mature enough to deal with having the freedom and the power that comes with social media. And so now, one thing that needs to be addressed even early on, and I know we can't do everything through the school, because at the end of the day, school is designed to help you academically and to support you emotionally and socially. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's why we need outside agencies like you all to talk about, okay, how do you engage on social your face? But then I tell them, also, you got to keep in mind, how many times you take a selfie before you post it? Social media is everything is curated. The same way you take this, doing this in the bathroom mirror, have you got your friend all on the floor taking pictures? That's not real. It's not real at all. And so you have to keep in mind, if I go through all this, post one picture, everyone else is doing the same. So you can't judge, that's not real life. And I think for our young people, because that's all they know, they don't realize real life is not what's on social media. All that is, I'm showing you the best version from a specific angle and giving you this one perspective.
Right. And like you said, like what we're trying to do, getting into these schools and teaching those things about social media is so important. They have to learn about that, because I think it's really going to affect them, especially when they're older and their mindset is different. They think differently. And then they look back on how they treated or did things when they were younger, and they can't take that stuff back. It is there forever. Do you think teachers, parents, college professors need to be trained on identifying signs of low self-esteem, depression, and anxiety? We know things are changing in terms of, you know, social media. There's some things that we need to learn to keep up with the current times and the way things are happening with young kids today, especially through technology. So, you know, do you think this training is important?
Oh yes, most definitely. Like, you know, and people, when you're asking to be trained, I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm just asking you to say, okay, this person's having an issue. And then, because what happens that there, you know, you do have some people with high functional depression, and you know, when they commit suicide, like no one saw it coming. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people, they give you signs. And so everyone who's working with others, that goes back to that being human, and that's something we're losing with social media. We're all connected, and we all have responsibility to each other. And so in having that responsibility, it's something simple as knowing that this person may be going through something. And if they are, I can speak to them, and we have that type of relationship. But even getting past speaking to them about it, I know who to refer them to address it. If you don't feel good about yourself as a learner, as a person, academically, then you turn around, you got engaged socially, and you're going on social media, and you're like, man, my hair not cute, man, I don't have that, man, I don't have this, mm-hmm. You know, look at her, she been there, look at all her followers, and let me tell y'all something,
they changing as well, right? So you think that's the way we can get our education to where it needs to be, by incorporating these other extracurricular things within the school systems.
Yeah, you know, globally, other students are being exposed to things.
And other schools in other countries, yes, yeah. They are. They're being exposed to all of this. And they're not because of the testing. So it goes back always. That's the important thing, is the testing, not these other things that we see as being able to help the whole child, essentially. Yeah. And not just what the score is, the data. You know, your testing shows this, and that's what you're focused on. But all these other things are being missed that can affect the child. And the kids are going to learn about it because we're interconnected with the whole world now. They're going to find out all of the things that have happened. And they should.
Embrace the past, because that's how you learn.
You can learn from it.
Yeah. It goes back to self-esteem. Man, if I see how the past has influenced people today, then I want to say I want to be a better person. And I'm going to find ways to not only to protect my own self-esteem, make sure I don't negatively impact others. And I can be a better person by the way I treat other people, or realizing that, man, that was messed up what happened. Man, you shouldn't treat people like that. But certain people want to live in a bubble because you don't want to address what's wrong in your household. That's not my struggle. My struggle is making sure that everyone's needs are being met. And I think that goes back to that selfishness that people don't realize. If you feel good about yourself, you don't have to be negative or mean or ugly to anyone else. Mm-hmm. But if you value based on certain demographics or your location or your region or your religion, you're not really happy with yourself, because you should be a sum of all your parts.
Be great together, but different. I love that. That is so good. I really love the things that you're saying, because it really enforces some of the things and thoughts that I have had. And this is why talking about this is so important, because hearing your perspective is really giving me some really good insight. Do you think that as our world becomes more globalized, will this affect the mental health and self-esteem of our youth? And it can be good, but at the same time, there can be some drawbacks, perhaps.
Yeah,
what could that be?
Well, you know, the big thing is, it goes back to that comparison. Mm-hmm. We want to build kids up where they are okay with being different. And, you know, and that really, so even if I'm like this, if a kid, I don't know, over in China is different, that's okay. If they do things different, it's okay. And then you have to realize that interacting with other people, because I'm confident in myself. And I want to make sure I say this, confidence and arrogance are very different.
Okay.
I can be confident who I am and still be open to learning about others, understanding their perspective, and having empathy. But sometimes people think self-esteem is arrogance. It's my way or no way. If you don't do it like me, then it's not right. It's something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. That's not self-esteem. Really, that's the exact opposite. That's insecurity, because you're not okay enough to acknowledge that someone else is different. And so it will affect their self-esteem, because you go into the world and realize that we've been keeping you in a bubble, and you're going to look real dumb. Just say it's simple. When you interact with other people, that's going to make you feel bad. Or you can say, I was confident enough in myself that I could treat others right. I could learn about the world around me. And then I gained so much by interacting with others. So it depends on what we build up in. It depends on what are we telling them to value about themselves. Do we want them to value the confidence that comes with self-esteem, or we want them to value the arrogance? And that's going to determine the experience they have when they get in the world.
Because it's going to be a lot tougher in the world when you've got other kids from different countries, and it just makes much more the competition a lot stronger, right, in the world, because now you have the whole world is involved. And you know, kids today need to understand that the world, the way it is now, they need to understand other cultures and kids and how things are done differently. And the one point you said about America being number one, yeah, you we're always told we're number one, but you know, I've lived in other countries, and you know, they're very confident about how well they are, how they do
and
things.
They should be,
but I don't know. I think it's a false sense of like us being the best, because we're not the best arrogance. At everything. It's the internet. And,
it's the arrogance. The arrogance.
Yeah, the arrogance. Yes, as well. And that's just it's scary, because I don't see them, the American kids or us, our education system being the way it used to be. I just think we are falling behind in a lot of ways. And I think
because the world is changing. The world is changing. Being archaic.
We're still the same.
You have to evolve. And people are scared of evolving. There's nothing wrong with changing. If you feel secure enough in your values, but you recognize that your values are worth keeping, that's the problem. Then you don't have to be insecure. You can be open to your children learning about things and being exposed to stuff. Mm-hmm. And that this continuation of I don't want you to learn anything that I don't agree with, that's going to be detrimental to their own self-esteem. Because when they wake up and realize that you didn't prepare them, you know, that how do you move forward saying, man, you really set me up for failure? You know, and like you said, that's what we're doing. We're not preparing them for a world that's changing. Yeah. They're going to have issues that we can't even think of right now they have to address. Yeah. And that's why we need innovative people who are creative, because the world you and I grew up in is changing. I look at my own kids, you know, like when I was 8, 9 years old, I was trying to figure out, looking at TV Guide to figure out when I was going to watch something. We had to get out of our children's way and focus more on building them up to be secure in themselves and not building them up to be mirror images of what we want.
And and that just takes me back really quickly to what you said about it's money and the testing. Can you explain how the testing equates to the money so that people understand how that works?
Okay, so you have to think about, so for example, I take a state test. You pay a company to produce your state test. So the more often I have to order more tests because I have retesters, that means they're going to make more money off of me. So then you have these different state education systems that are purchasing tests from different providers. You know, you have to think about, it's just a lot of money. So, you know, you get money for your school being a school improvement. You get money for this. They get money for teachers, incentives if you get a certain score on the test. But at the end of the day, it's not about I want, you know, when you get to part of education where I'm paying you extra because you get a certain score, or I'm paying this organization to keep producing these tests or going and revamping the tests because I feel like too many people were passing, it wasn't rigorous enough, that's money on top of money. So a lot of times you have to think about it. Am I making more money from kids failing the test because they have to keep ordering tests from me, or am I making more money when they pass it the first time?
Wow.
And so, you know, that's something that really people need to, I haven't done research, but I think that'd be some really great research. How much money are places like Pearson making, ETS making for producing all these tests? How much are you paying when they go back and revamp the test because it's not rigorous enough? And how much are you paying every time you get a test when you get it for first timers and retesters? That's not a chump change.
That's a good point. Yeah. It's not.
You know, we talk about being transparent. Well, show me some receipts. How much money are you spending on testing each year? How much money are you spending when you have the test revamped? How much money are you spending every time I have to order benchmark testing, or we call it star testing? All these different assessments where how much money is really going to that that could be allocated to something else?
Wow. That sums it up really well. And it's all about the money. Isn't that just sad that it comes down to the money when we look at our children and our kids? I know you say it's important, but I think it's, like you said, too much. It's just a lot of testing.
Mm-hmm. And it's overwhelming. And then they have to take the ACT to get into school. You know, like, I believe in ACT. I know at one point some states use ACT as their exit exam. And I think that's a great approach. Because that's something that if I do well in ACT, that's going to help me further myself in a lot of different ways. Whether it's getting certain programs, getting access to scholarships, determining what classes I take, that's a good idea. But when I'm telling a kid, well, you got to pass all these tests, then you got to do, like, for example, say Mississippi, a child wants to get out of school early their senior year. You know, you've been a senior, you got to leave a little early. You have to pass all your state tests, then you have to get a certain score on ACT. If I'm not the best test taker, and I get anxiety. I worked hard all these years, but I get so stressed out taking the test. You know, so it's just, I'm dealing with the school test. I'm dealing with the testing to get into college. I got SAT. I got ACT. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's overwhelming. And then, you know, you start thinking about it, take AP courses. That's an exam. So you could potentially have a kid that their whole life is exams. I got state test, AP test. Then, you know, of course you have tests in the classroom because assessment is important. But it's just so much assessment. And then when I get past all that, I still have to take a test to get into college, or I still have to do this to get into a program I want to get into. That's overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. There should be options.
I know it's a problem. This new GRE is overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I went to a school where I didn't have to do the GRE when I got my master's. I didn't
have to. I had to get one, get my program.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, I was glad they didn't require it for me, and I was able to get master's. But.
And then, you know, in the midst of it, you're trying to find yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's overwhelming.
It's a lot. You're right. Okay, so what needs to be done to improve mental health of our students, sons and daughters? So do we need to, training our teachers?
Yeah, to just recognize signs.
Recognize
more counselors. Like, and I know I'm partial because I'm a school counselor, mm-hmm. but I think about my counselor to student ratio is really high.
It's always so high.
It's too high. And so, you know, the thing is, I always have a lot of guilt because in the day I have, like, and my students be like, I emailed you to email me back. And I'm going to say, back, I'm trying my best to catch up. But because I have so many students and I try to have a personal relationship with all of them, it's impossible. So if you want to help mental health, you know, yes, it's good to have outside agency, and that's definitely a big thing. But then the people who are engaging with them, whether it's, the, you know, school counselor, teacher, don't have the ratio so high. So they can notice those things. They can develop closer relationships to, you know, support them when they're at school. Because I know we focus a lot on kids who don't have, because, you know, the other ones, they have a support system. But even with that, you know, if you don't have such a high student to professional ratio, they can provide that support. But when, you know, I'm not going to say the exact number, it's over 300. That's a lot.
How can you manage 300 kids with
I don't know.
It's not possible. It's not every school I've ever known or seen. My school was like that. And, you know, those students that really need that support get overlooked, I think. Because
well, you try, but it's, you are going to overlook somebody. Because you're going to have the ones who are really, really in need. And, like, you know, thankfully my district, we do work with an outside agency for mental health.
Okay.
But every kid doesn't have a mental health issue. Some kids just need that extra attention or a little bit more support. They may not qualify, say, okay, the person knows that they're having depression, anxiety. It could be the kid who just, when the tests come around, they're having a bad day. Like, I know I had a kid the other day, his tummy was bothering him because he had a test.
Okay.
You know, so that may be a one-time occurrence, but if you had more time to work with students to kind of support them going to testing season, then you could help prepare him for that. So even though it's not an ongoing issue that requires a referral because they only popped it at one time, but when you have a smaller ratio, you have time to go do lessons. But okay, let's talk about test taking skills. Let's talk about addressing anxiety. So when they get to that major test, mm-hmm. they're not freaking out mm-hmm. because someone has been able to say, okay, listen, you're going to be nervous. These are some things you can do. You know, so it's, you have to reduce the responsibilities or the number of kids that people are responsible for. Because you can't give everyone the attention they need, because you have to, like, I have a grade and a half. Myself and other counselors split a grade. That's a lot. Because now that I have this one whole grade that has over 200 kids, I'm still adding another 100 and something. You know, the thing is, and I try to be, we all try to be effective, but at the end of the day, you know, you can't be 100% effective because I'm one person and I have 300 something kids.
Yeah. Well, how does the outside organization that you did mention, how do they support you? Because
they're really great. I heart them. They're really great. So this agency they have like social workers and therapists housed in the building. And so what they do is, so parents have to try to be like, I didn't get out of work, take them to the therapy session. Teachers do referrals. I can do referrals. The parents can ask a referral. And so they pretty much just pull kids for counseling throughout the day. So that service is provided during the school day. So it reduces the things that parents have to do. And so it's really great. I love it. They do wraparound services where if the family's having issues, you know, they work with the family. You know, they kind of help bridge a lot of gaps, but because they're in the school building, you know, imagine as a parent is busy. Okay, I don't have to take off work to go take them to the therapist. So then I can't, you know, because be honest, sometimes like, I got to work. I don't have time to take them to a therapist. Mm-hmm. It's not life or death. So now you have someone in the building for Johnny who is having some issues with anxiety or maybe suffering from depression. Instead of him having to deal with a parent, it's like, I don't have time for this. Nothing wrong with you. Now they have someone at school say, okay, this is your elective. Let me see you for 30 minutes every week. And you get this therapy session so you can focus and function. And then you move on. So that's why I love it. And I'm really proud that's something that's in our school.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm a school counselor. I can't be your mental health therapist.
Right.
But it's someone in this building who can work with you and provide that. And we don't have to worry about someone not taking you to your appointment because they don't have to. It's right here. And that helps. tremendously.
Who pays for that?
I won't say that this year has a subsidy for it. So I know they look at Medicare. So don't have me lie, but I know, like, I know they look at your insurance and Medicare, and I know the district plays a big part in it. So I can't speak on that because I don't want to tell you wrong. Mm-hmm. But I do know it's not like, okay, I saw my therapist, they, I have a copay.
Okay, it's not like that. Yeah. So the district where you are, they have allocated dollars for these services. That is awesome. Wow. Yeah,
so I know they partner with, so I can't say specifically how it's covered, but I just know that it is covered for our kids.
Let me see, if some of our listeners out there are dealing with low self-esteem, what message do you want to give to them today?
The big thing is, you are enough. Take time. Don't worry about what anyone else thinks about you. Take time to just figure out, just even if you have to start with just one thing that you like about yourself. And so what, that's, I can't think of it. Everybody can just say, if, how can, it's like in therapy, it's called a $1 million question. If I woke up tomorrow, what would my life look like? It was perfect. And when you write that down, think about, okay, what do I have right now that is close to that? Because if you really take time to say, I'm going to remove everybody else's thoughts, everybody else's beliefs, it was just me, and that came with anybody thought. What is something I like about myself, about anybody input? And you might take time to meditate on it, and that's okay, because sometimes we feel like you need a relationship with yourself or your relationship with anybody else. So take time when you're in the bed at night, when you're taking a shower, when you just can be in the quiet, turn off your phone, turn off the TV, turn off the person to get on your nerves, somebody need a break from you, and say, what was it I liked about myself? And what are the remnants that I see? And you just find that one thing and say, that's what I like about myself. And every day think about something like, you know what? I did this good today, or I did that good today. And write it down. And next thing you know, when you're feeling down, you got a whole page, a list of all the things that's awesome about you, because you've been keeping up with it. And don't write anything negative in your book. Just say, even something like, you know what? I don't hit the snooze button twice a day. That's growth. Well then, hey, go with that. Because that meant that even though I want to keep sleeping, I said, you know what, I have something to do, that I went here and get out the bed. And it wasn't because you didn't hit it, it's because I don't hit it twice. It's something as simple as that. And every day say, this is one thing I did good today that I like about myself. And before you know it, you got hundreds of things you like.
So taking these small baby steps to really focus on that inner voice and who you are, and liking yourself for the things that you can do, and baby steps. And as it grows, you just keep acknowledging all the things that make you feel good about yourself, what you're good at. And this is how we can slowly start to have students improving their self-esteem.
Yeah, it's not a competition.
It's not a competition.
This is your journey. And your destiny is your destination. But the thing is, it's about how you get there. So stop worrying about what everybody else got going on their road. That's not your path. Your path is yours and no one else. And if you find yourself comparing your path to others, you need to take that out your life. You don't need that negativity in your life. You say, that's not the vibe you want. Let it go.
Love
and
that.
And that's okay.
That's awesome, Angela. Wow. You guys, I'm sure your students love you that you meet with. I'm sure you give them lots of nuggets, of gems, of things to think about.
Well, I hope they know anything. I do love them. I do tell them that I love them. I hope they know that I love them. But, you know, it's just, we all have to work together.
Yeah, we do. I want to thank you so much for meeting with me today. It has been a pleasure speaking with you.
Well, thank y'all for having me. I was so nervous.
Oh, no, you were wonderful. Oh, my goodness. I am so happy I had you come, and actually you reached out and responded to come on here with us today. Do you have anything that you want
to promote? I'm simple, man. I just go to work and try to love my kids. I just go to work and try to love my students. You know, that may be something I do in the future, but to be honest, I'm just
focus on that.
Maybe a book.
Later in life, you could maybe put out a book on self-esteem to help kids, you know?
Now, ma'am, I just got enough self-esteem to come talk to you. Now, you moving me.
Hey, you're that good. You need to be doing that at some point. That's what I think, so.
Well, I put on my to-do list.
Okay.
That's something I'm working on, building myself. Right. And feel like I have something people want to hear about.
You know, yes, you really do.
Like, it's a journey.
Okay, so, well, thank you, Ms. Angela Samuels, for being on our podcast, Grow Global. And thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Are you experiencing a low self-esteem or identity crisis? We want to hear from you. Email us at info@lifesmarteducation.org with the subject line self-esteem. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Life Smart Education. Today's show was produced by Keith Richardson, edited and written by Christine Lopez and Manuel Lopez, no relation. Our social media producer is JD Johnson. Thanks to our friends from Platinum Credit Group and our friends at WCBE 90.5 FM for sponsoring this podcast and making it happen. I'm Patricia Demetrio, your host. This is Grow Global. Thanks for listening.